technology is changing, and who knows what's in store for the future. You're listening to the New IT Podcast, where we talk with forward-thinking companies to learn what they're doing to be leaders in their space and how they use technology to disrupt their industry. Welcome to the New IT. The New IT, here we are again in the house. Brad, what's going on today? What's happening? The New IT, where are we at?
Yeah, I'm really excited about today's show. Today we're gonna tackle insurance tech, and we brought in a guest.
Insurance tech?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right? Who knew?
Is that going to be as exciting as I think it is?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to leave that to our guest. So,
no pressure, yeah. Man. No pressure,
no
Justin.
We're excited.
Right? We brought on Justin.
I'm for you.
We'd like to welcome Justin from Quote Hand. I just want to kind of let him give a little bit of intro about himself, let him talk about Quote Hand, and then let us learn from him.
Then we'll drill him.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, tell us about the company and stuff.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit more about our story. So I'll start simple. A little background about myself is I'm a native East Coaster. So I grew up on the East Coast, skiing, sailing, doing everything outdoors possible. Post-graduation, I took a leap of faith and went to California, like so many else have, and landed in California for about 5 years at a really cool performance-based marketing organization. And that's how I got my exposure to the industry. And then if you fast forward almost 3 years back is where we founded Quote Hand, and that's what I'm spending my day doing now. So I'm currently the president of Quote Hand, and in a nutshell, Quote Hand is a performance-based marketing company with a core focus in customer acquisition. So we strategically partner with companies ranging from mom-and-pop organizations all the way up to publicly traded companies to help provide performance-based marketing. And we're doing some pretty innovative stuff right now and making everyone smile and seeing what we can do to prove, you know, who we are and how we can be impactful for other organizations.
Yeah. So if I understand correctly, your verticals are more like the insurance companies. Is that correct? Or help me understand that piece a little bit more.
Yeah. So today we focus on five core categories. So those core categories are going to include auto insurance, home insurance, commercial insurance, life and health. And within some of those, we have subcategories. So if you talk about the life insurance space, we really focus on two main subset areas. So we're going to focus on final expense, term insurance. And when you talk about health insurance, we both serve the over 65, the Medicare, as well as the under 65.
So I want to just jump right into it then. I want to understand, what is disruptive in the industry for what you guys are doing? Are you being disruptive? What is that secret sauce that is shaking things up a little?
Yeah, a great question. So first and foremost, typically when you think of lead generation companies, you think of a black box and, you know, in goes one way and out goes the other. And there's a lot of mystery behind that. So one of the things that we're trying to do here at Quote Hand is demystify the black box. So what we're doing with our partners, whether they're the mom and pop or the publicly traded company, is help them understand what they're purchasing, help them understand the value that provides, but not just short-term value, understand the profitability of that consumer and how it can evolve their business over time. So we strategically focus on a lot of data partnerships where we're able to score and distribute the consumer based on risk of our partners. And that allows us to, again, go after the LTV and provide a holistic approach to why this consumer will be a good fit and how this consumer will be a good fit.
Interesting.
Interesting. So the one thing that I was kind of curious on is, what is the LTV? Is that long-term?
Lifetime value.
So
yes. Essentially how that person or that consumer is going to fit into the profitability of organization. So is it profitable within the first 6 months for that business to come on with their acquisition cost? Or does it take a renewal or some sort of increased lifetime of the consumer being on the book? So really understanding how the cost to acquire that consumer fits into the profitability of the business.
Awesome. Hmm. I like it.
So what, I again, is that okay if I just keep asking?
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to know, what's innovative? What are you guys doing that's innovative in that space? I want to dig deeper.
Yeah, great question. So you know, part of the reason why we founded Quote Hound was to be transparent. And I think that's one of the key words that I'll kind of dive into a few times through this podcast. But one of the things we've done is we put a scoring model in place. And for partners that are able to pass us back the disposition data or the LTV of their clients, we're able to create a scoring system. That scoring system helps us find consumers that are lookalikes. So for example, if they find a consumer that is highly profitable for their business, we're able to create a lookalike audience, a lookalike consumer. And as we sift through all the consumers that come through our flow on a daily basis, we're able to segment and pick and strategically deliver those consumers who are profitable for their business. So a part of our technology that we've built and we're continuously optimizing is finding the right consumer based on data sets and then delivering more of those consumers that are successful for our partners.
Hmm. Interesting.
Wow. You got it figured out.
Yeah, it sounds like they do. So, I mean, from my vantage point, I'm a little bit curious. How are you guys taking care of your technology? How big is your team? What sort of tech stack are you guys running? Let's unpack that a little bit more.
We're lean and mean, which I love. So we're living the startup dream right now. You know, sleep is at a minimal, and brain power is going full force. I like to think my synapses are firing pretty much 24/7. You see kind of the board in the background. A lot of my squiggle writing, it can be seen. But you know, we're running a number of technologies, both leveraging internal technology that my team has built, and then we have a couple external partners. So, you know, when you talk from a high level, AWS is powering a lot of our stuff. You know, on top of our AWS, we're using S3 buckets. We're transforming data with Glue. We're housing everything in a data lake so that we can come back at a future point in time and recategorize our data or re-query our data so that as our learning evolves or as my business needs change, I can come in and re-query and rethink about how we structure some of that data. So that's kind of some of the pieces we have here. We have team members all throughout the country, ranging from Texas to Ohio, Boston, and then a few team members here within the great state of Texas. And right now we're 8 strong with the hope that we'll be doubling our team in 2022.
That is awesome.
And is there a reason for them being all over the place, or is it just because those are the best people you could find and so those are who you hired?
Yeah, so we were founded July 3rd, 2019. And one of the things that was so important to me when we were founded was finding the right people, putting the right people in the right seat. So to me, I think finding the right person is more important than the zip code in which they're located. So we've been able to have some great introductions, some great referrals, and find some of those 18 members. And that's more important to me. We believe in autonomy here. We believe in letting people run with their imagination, test, fail, test, and succeed. And to me, that means being open to letting people work where they need to work, not just putting everyone in a box and saying, hey, here's the zip code you're going to report to, and that's just your daily basis.
And you were kind of doing that before COVID then, 2019.
Yeah. I mean, we were running hard, you know, July, and then
you're like, hey, you guys are late to the game, man. We've been doing that for a year.
And the funny part is, you know, in March, when everything changed, for better or for worse, however you want to describe it, we had 2 team members start the day before everything closed down. Oh, so, wow. You know, talk about having to change gears quickly and say, hey, you know, so glad to meet you. We can't wait to jump on the Zoom for the foreseeable future because no one knows what the heck's going to happen. And luckily, those team members are still with us. They're just the right people, and they're driven by good morals. You know, it hasn't been an issue thus far.
So it sounds like you have a good culture there. I mean, if they're still with you guys and still, you know, continuing to grow, what's the culture like there, and why do they want to continue to be with you? I mean, is it just the technology, or help me understand that?
I think it's the ability to be innovative on your own and bring ideas down and know that your ideas are going to be listened to. And my philosophy is simple. I'm not a micromanager. I truly believe if someone has a good idea, let's test it. Let's put thought behind it, and let's use data to prove, hey, my hypothesis was X or my hypothesis was Y. And if successful, let's implement. So it's really not a top-down culture in that perspective. It's, hey, if you have a good idea, let's run with it. Let's see how you can make a meaningful impact. And at the end of the day, you can feel great knowing your idea has transformed our business for the better.
That is sweet. I mean, that and I'm a recruiter. I don't know if you know my background, but I'm more on the recruitment side for software developers. And I cannot stress enough to people that it's not necessarily about, you know, the higher wages. It's more about the team culture. It's making sure that they feel valued, making sure that you're providing an environment of growth. And it sounds like you guys are doing exactly that. So with that in mind, I mean, I was just wondering, how do you think your technology is going to change in the future because you're so innovative, because you're open to letting your employees kind of learn and grow?
Yeah. So when I think about our technology, I like to think it's evolving. And I think it's evolving for a few different reasons. So the way we've currently assembled our team is we have people from varying different views. And tunnel vision, it, to me, is probably one of the most dangerous things as someone who's leading an organization, where hey, you have an idea and you've kind of shut yourself off to external light. So one of the things that we're working on and will always have as a core focus is surrounding myself, surrounding the other team members with people who think differently, so that we can't just run in a straight line. Maybe it's an S turn right, maybe it's an S turn left. And I think developers are a special use case for those, where yes, it is certain things are A to B and B to C, but when you talk to an architect, they have to think outside that box and they have to get me from A to Z. And those are the only thing, two things present in some early stage projects.
Yeah. I mean, two things on that front. You're only as strong as your weakest link, which it sounds like you're trying to make sure that you're as strong as possible. And then it doesn't really matter on the journey, as long as you're getting there. It doesn't matter how you get there. And if you learn along the way, even better.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good. I think our team members appreciate it. I think they feel valued and they see their impact. You know, as such a small company, we wear a lot of hats. And personally, I love that. I think our team members do as well, because they get to see their ideas come to fruition. They get to brainstorm all these fun ideas and really make a meaningful impact.
That's awesome. I mean, you couldn't ask from a development standpoint. I mean, you can't really ask for much more, as long as you're continuing to grow and continuing to push forward.
Absolutely. So are you you said kind of earlier that you were looking at growth or hoping for growth. Is there something you guys have turned, an area you're going down that you weren't, or you're set in your ways and you've figured it out? Why do you think there's growth on the horizon? I'm just curious.
Yeah, great question to have. So I get excited about growth, new names, new faces, new ideas, right? So when we first started our business, we leveraged third-party technology to bid in the open marketplace for consumers that are shopping. So historically, I have relied on other first-party generators of marketing material to aggregate data from their databases in real time. So the technology is pretty cool. It's very similar to a stockbroker, where a price will be given and within milliseconds a decision will be made. And the new direction where they're going is we're building out a sizable part of our organization where we're internally generating the product on our own and operated websites. So we have full control over the marketing. We have full control over the consumer journey, what language they're seeing. And that allows us just to own the funnel a little bit larger. And we're seeing pretty large growth in three strategic categories, which is really going to power a lot of our growth. So the three largest categories that we're growing in right now would be the life insurance category and the health insurance category. And within the life and health, again, those are their subcategories. So we're seeing massive growth from publicly traded companies, massive growth from partners who are receiving our data. And we believe in the product so much that we believe the next step is to reinvest in our team members, in incremental team members, so that we can push the pedal and go.
This may sound like a loaded question, but what do you see? I mean, what are your guys' plans for the next 5 years? Where do you guys see you guys going in 5 years? Because it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of growth potential in front of you.
Yeah, I think there's huge growth trajectory. So first of all, I want to be a name that's known within the space in a positive manner. You know, we're not pompous people. We're not people that need that affirmation, but we want to be known as a good player that's doing the right thing by our partners. So I think that's the biggest growth piece that's driving us internally from a management team, is doing right by our partners, doing right by our consumers. And we think with that motto, that transparency, we can scale to a sizable organization. So some of our aspirations have, 100 to 300 people sitting in our organization that can make a meaningful impact within those spaces.
Awesome.
Wow.
That's way cool. So what steps are you doing now to be able to help you guys get there? Or what's that journey look like? What do you think looks like?
A lot of road mapping. A lot of understanding, okay, if X is in place, how do we do Y? So a lot of my day is based upon, okay, what does our current stack look like? How do we scale? Is AWS going to help us? Are there other technologies? Are there other AI companies that we can leverage to create efficiencies in our processes? So I think it's a mix of technology is going to help us power that, and then we need the people to create ideas, to test ideas, and to execute those ideas. And that's really going to take us to that next level.
Is there something you don't have right now that you would like to have in the tech, in what with what you're doing? Is there something that you're like, man, this is our next step, we don't have this, this is what I would like to have? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so I'll say this in one way. AI is such a funny word right now, right?
Right. It's like all over the place.
All the cool kids are saying AI, I do this, I do machine learning. I think, you know, bringing that in-house rather than leveraging someone's AI is really important to me, and understanding the process, understanding the math, understanding how that works and ticks. That to me is how we go from where we are to 2 to 3 levels up, and bringing that team member in-house, because that is proprietary versus just leveraging someone else's technology. To me, that means that we are a full force organization that can make a meaningful impact.
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Being able to control the whole funnel, though, like you said, I mean, I think that's key for you guys, because that allows you more flexibility to be able to help essentially your clients and the customers out at the same time.
And easier to pivot.
It makes us dynamic.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think we can change to market conditions. So it allows us the flexibility to say, hey, we believe the next vertical that there's a large opportunity is X, right? And when we have full control over funnel, it allows us to shift and move quickly so that we can capture the sentiment of the market.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, so do you think, I mean, just off curiosity, I mean, do you think this could be applicable to other industries besides insurance?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I think financial services, I think home services is another large category of growth. So when you think of home services, that's going to range anything from solar to roofs to windows. And you think mortgage industry, you know, you obviously know that pretty well. But I think there's a lot of cyclical industries in which this can serve, and it's not just locked down to the insurance category.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going with it, because like in my head, the way you're describing it, I'm sitting there going, this could be applicable to so many other things. Like you said, I mean, just in the home services industry alone, I mean, I can think of, like you said, hundreds of different areas where you could just kind of be able to help out in those arenas.
Yep.
Cool.
If there's a consumer interest in a consumer searching for something, we could build a business model around it.
Ooh. Interesting. I like that.
Yeah. So I want to know, because I'm curious now about hiring process, because you obviously have a good team. It's a lean team, but how did you find these people? We got a lot of listeners that are companies out there that like to see trends in IT, that stuff that's going on. How did you find the people you did? I'm just curious, because I think that's very relevant.
Yeah. Oh, it's changed is the answer. Oh, so what's worked 3 years ago or almost 3 years ago is definitely different than we do now. Yeah. So, you know, when we first got our start, we used Indeed, right? Simple, yeah. Rudimentary, put out ads. We saw candidates ranging from, oh my gosh, to wow, this guy's or gal is pretty impressive. So that's how we got our original core three. And then from there, referrals. I know that's a non-scalable piece, but I've got some
but
great
that's important.
Talent just by people. The last team member that came on board is someone I saw they were searching on LinkedIn. They put out a message and man, they since on board, they've made such a meaningful impact. I think LinkedIn now is a very, very powerful tool. I'm almost 13,000 connections, and I don't post my social views. I don't post things like that. I try and connect the dots between someone looking for something and someone that has a need. And to me, that tool is so powerful. I think it's underused, underwhelming, that some people just are not within that network. And just because you friend someone doesn't mean you have to have a sales pitch right away.
Yeah.
I just believe in having the power of a big network, and maybe the dots connect in a year, maybe the dots connect in 6 months.
And I think that was a true vision for LinkedIn,
yeah,
too, to be that kind of space. That was what it's always been about. And they, I think they do a fairly good job of promoting that. And so does the community. I mean, you start to get all weird on there. People will call you out and say, hey, guys, that's not go to
place.
Facebook, man. Go to Facebook.
Exactly.
This is not the – yeah, so
– well, and I think you hit it right
on.
I mean, you hit the nail right on the head where you said that LinkedIn is about that connection. And it doesn't necessarily mean hit – you know, you connect with somebody and then you message them right away. It's, hey, you know, if we happen to have a common interest and we see that we could work together potentially down the road, build and nurture that relationship. It doesn't mean that you need to just hurry and spam them and say, hey, okay, here, I need to get my message to them. No, let slow play it. Make it worthwhile. you know, put out content that's relevant to them and what they're interested in.
I probably have 10, 15 unique items where it wasn't all about sales, but just connecting the right person to the right place. And I feel good about that when I go to sleep.
And you're hurting yourself if you're spamming and trying to just put out there. I don't listen to those people. I don't give them 2 seconds. But when somebody legitimately asks me something or wants something, then I'm interested. And I can tell it's not some spammy, hey. And there's too much of that, unfortunately. But, man, you can really stand above the crowd if you actually have a real conversation with somebody that you're interested in actually connecting with.
There's something to be said. People sharing good news, right? A lot of the world news today is bad, right? Who was shot? Who was, you know, war going on? Whatever those might be. LinkedIn should be a place to share the good. We all need more good in our life. We all need more good news. We all can support people having good news, and that's how I view the LinkedIn culture.
Yeah, agreed. Oh, I like that. Yeah,
and I think it is, for the most part, I think it is that way, but you're still going to get people who try to scam and you know, continue to spam you, but yeah, that's going to be with everything.
And you should be celebrating more. I think your wins with your company. You see that, and I love that when I see that on LinkedIn. I want to know that your company's doing good, or that you're kicking it, or that you have this connection. That to me is real, and not just a bunch of hypey bullcrap.
I think it's empowering when someone you don't might necessarily know and you don't talk to every once in a while is like, hey, good job, man. You're kicking butt. And I think there's a lot of silent champions out there, and I think LinkedIn can surface those silent champions, and you can feel good about those things.
Yeah,
agreed.
Yeah, there's great space. Well, that's cool. I'm glad. I just wanted to know where, and it's that simple. It's a simple answer. And I think you talking about word of mouth, we forget how powerful that tool really is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a missed. I know in a lot of companies I've owned, word of mouth is what grew it far more than the marketing campaign. Truth, because if you knock it out of the park, word of mouth will kill it.
Good news is good to share, right? And if people are enjoying the culture, people feel valued, people understand what they're doing and how it's making an impact, heck yeah, I think they're apt to share that. And, you know, it's a good tool to use for recruiting, and it's just a good feel-good tool to know your organization is doing right by the people who help make it is what it is.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, cool. Since we're talking about technology, let's kind of your take. I mean, you're running this company. You've been running it for a few years now. This is the new IT. We're kind of talking about new technology and stuff and kind of highlighting you. But then we always like to get your opinion or the guest's opinion of where do you think technology is going in general, all over? You got some crazy views, crazy ideas.
I see some thoughts going on in there. He's like,
lots to unpack there, right? And I think it's funny timing because about a week ago, I lost my phone. So I've been unplugged for about a week.
Interesting.
And for better or for worse, it's been different, right? I have not scrolled through things that I don't need to scroll through, right? I've been very intentional with how I communicate with people. It's been a nuisance, but at the same time, I've been able to unplug. So I think technology is going to make major leaps and bounds. And as much as I want to say that technology is ingrained in everyone's life, you know, you have your watch, you have your phone, your beeper was replaced by your Apple Watch, your BlackBerry was replaced by your iPhone. I think you'll continue to see the trend where technology will make our lives easier. Technology will help simplify a lot of the monotonous tasks that we don't like to do every single day. So I think technology will become helpful. I hope that technology doesn't take over and we all don't have, you know, glasses over our face and run around each day in a virtual world. I hope that's the case, but I do see parts of the world, the virtual world, going in that direction. So I think you'll see an eventual segmentation of how people want to interact with technology. Some people will be full forced and live in that world. Other people will pull back and maybe remove themselves from having everything on their hip. And I think that's kind of the direction we're going from a technology perspective.
Ooh, you think there'll be the rise of the Luddites?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Let's
that
get
reference.
Away, Luddite. They don't like technology. That's...
Yeah. And I think you're right, though. I mean, I think you're having a little bit of mix of both.
I think you're right. Yeah.
difference opinions is healthy, right?
Absolutely.
And I think we'll be in a spot where we can all choose, and we don't have to stick in one direction. We don't have to, you know, be called out for being flip-floppers. We can choose to use when we want, and we can choose to unplug when we want. And I value that in most business relationships where, hey, it's okay to understand what your current business practices are today. If market conditions change, if life conditions change, you can go that direction without repercussions.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Wow, this has been good. Awesome. Any last words, Brad? You got what do you got out there?
I think this was definitely very informative, very very enlightening, and very very good conversation to have. I mean, I think you guys are headed in the right direction, and it's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, it technology's fun. You got to have fun with it. You know, right. It's not all just ones and zeros. It's, hey, how do we put personality behind those ones and zeros? And how do we simplify life? How do we make it easier? How do we do the right thing by consumers? How do we do the right things by our business partners?
Yeah, they've said it. It's been said many, many times. How do you create a business? You find a problem, and then you solve that problem.
Agreed.
That's how you find it.
Yeah.
Literally. Of course, it's got to be a problem that people don't want to have.
Yeah.
Some people solve problems for crap nobody cares about, and that's a hard sell.
Different story for different podcasts, right? Absolutely.
But I love it. I love that there's innovators out there. It's why we do the show, to talk to people that are kind of disrupting and shaking things up, and absolutely – that's what you're doing, Justin. So thank you for being on the show. Thank you so much for being here and talking with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing the story, and love to connect with anyone on LinkedIn or any of the other social media platforms. I think it's important for folks like you to highlight what people are doing in today's world.
Absolutely. So how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, quotehound.com. Check me out, Justin Marks, on LinkedIn, or look at the Quotehound platforms. We have a LinkedIn and a Facebook page. But reach out to us, book an appointment on our website. We'd love to hear from everyone. We take a consultative approach, so we'd love to understand what challenges you're running into from a marketing perspective, and put some feedback on how we believe we can solve some of those problems.
Love it.
Love it. That's it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You have been listening to The New Idea.